established real estate. It's lost the time like other crimes, though on this pleasant land. Over and over again, all these never-ending visions. Over and over again, like a prize that's changing hands. The time has come, the clock is such a drag. All you who change your stripes can wrap me in the flag. Place the rising tide helped me decide to change my name again. Some intend to linger on, and some make haste from Babylon. Some will roam their ruined home, rejoicing to the end. Over and over again, all these never.
This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Station Manager Lauren Gallagher. Thanks for joining us. Tonight's top stories are about Constitution Day and today's Spanish Fiesta. Later in the newscast, you'll get the latest news on in the business industry with a business beat, hear about a new artist with an artist spotlight, and the men's soccer goalkeeper. The Constitution Day lecture was held this past Monday and discussed the limitations of presidential power. WRKC's John Flynn reports on the annual lecture.
September 17, 1787, in the midst of a long, hot summer in Philadelphia, 39 delegates from 12 states put pen to paper to formally endorse the United States Constitution, one of the oldest active documents remaining in the world. As years go by, there seems to be intrigue concerning the Constitution as the political setting changes. In 2018, the United States is grappled with the question, are there active grounds in which the president is overusing his power? King's sponsored a nonpartisan discussion on Monday evening, 231 years to the date of the Constitution signing, in which historical abstracts were weaved into the political landscape of 2018. The lecture was sponsored by the McGowan Center of Ethics and Responsibility. The first panelist, Dr. Michael Moreland of Villanova University, looked at the different types of interpretations of executive power that were in place and how they've changed over time. For example, in light of President Donald Trump's decision in May of 2017 to fire FBI Director James Comey, Moreland looks at the example of when President Franklin D. Roosevelt fired William Humphrey, Commissioner of the Federal Trade Commission, who did not agree with his New Deal policies.
The view of the court, and here again, some of this is in politics in the background, the court trying to kind of brush back against the New Deal a little bit and pushing against some of President Roosevelt's efforts here. The court says, well, these independent agencies, those are different, and there Congress can, by statute, restrain the ability of the president to remove these commissioners except for a cause where they have engaged in inefficiency, neglect of duty, or malfeasance in office.
Dr. Tom Baldino, a political science professor at Wilkes University, described politics as the oil in America's engine because government needs a way to make laws plausible to other colleagues and to the American people. But yet the Constitution never explicitly mentions the term of political parties. But Baldino suggests that Congress can do whatever they want as long as the oil in that engine is still there for it to operate like it should be.
There are still opportunities to can check or restrain the president through the political means available in the Constitution. However, if the oil in the system is gummed up by extreme partisanship, or polarization, then you've got to have concern for the system. Without the politics of compromise and consensus, our system will falter and, in a worst-case scenario, collapse into an illiberal democracy.
With the ideas about impeachment from Democrats on President Trump these days, there are other systems of government around the globe that have seen impeachment, particularly since the 1990s. Dr. Beth Admiral, political science professor at King's, found in research that as political parties fight for power, unintended results may arise. She looks at the example of Dilma Vanna Rousseff of Brazil, who was removed as prime minister of the country in 2016.
In the same article, the authors note that impeachments can be detrimental to democracy as well. They even cite Rousseff's impeachment as an example. She was impeached on a budget technicality by legislators who opposed her progressive agenda. Today, Brazil is in political turmoil, with one presidential candidate disqualified for corruption and another running for presidency from a hospital bed after getting stabbed. Impeachment is a messy prospect, and it's important to keep in mind that the results might be unintended.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm John Flynn.
Today, the Spanish Outreach Program held the annual Spanish Fiesta that featured foods from different Hispanic cultures, among other activities. WRKC's Kendall Wright attended the fiesta and has the story tonight.
To celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month, Wednesday, September 19th, was the second annual Spanish Fiesta held in Monarch Court.
Today is the Spanish Fiesta. It's meant to celebrate all cultures for Hispanic Heritage Month.
The food from the fiesta featured many dishes from different countries.
We have pupusas from El Salvador, which are over. They're filled with beans, chicken, and cheese, or only cheese, and they're topped with kind of like a coleslaw, and then a tomato sauce, which can be spicy. They're delicious, especially warm. We have another Mexican vendor. They're selling mangoes, chips, homemade chips, and tamales. So a lot of Mexican variety.
Caitlin Talbot, a student at King's, approved of the food and explains how she found out about the fiesta.
I had the chicken tacos, and I came today because I saw an email about it, and then when I got out of my criminal justice class, I heard music down here, so I came down and I saw it. And I got a taco.
Ms. Palinero also explains the Hispanic outreach program and talks about ways people can get involved.
It's basically an outreach program to the Hispanic community, but we also work with King students. We have a middle school program, a high school program, and ESL classes for adults. We also work along with Brother Stephen and the Dan Flood tutoring program.
She was happy to help provide the King's community with an event that represents different Hispanic cultures.
We love sharing our culture, and even though we might speak Spanish, there's a huge variety of places that we come from. For example, El Salvador is here. The Dominican Republic was supposed to be here, but they weren't able to. And of course, Mexico. So those are the major population in Wilkes-Barre.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Kendall Wright.
Coming up, Joshua Frankevich has a business beat, music director Kayla Kaczynski has an artist spotlight, and sports director Chris Wallenberg discusses the men's soccer team goalkeeper.
I'm little teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spell.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WRKC presents The Radio Home Visitor. Every day from 10 a.m. to noon, volunteers and King students read The Citizen's Voice on air for the blind, visually impaired, and homebound. Tune in to The Radio Home Visitor on WRKC.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
Hello, this is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat. The U.S. in review. This past week's economic reports largely came in close to expectations and suggest third quarter real GDP growth will rise close to expectations of a solid 3.1% annual rate. August's retail sales data came in rising just 0.1%, but the prior months were revised higher and retail sales remain up at a 7.8% pace over the past 3 months. Industrial production rose 0.4% in August, which was slightly better than expected. A rebound in motor vehicle assemblies and utilities output accounted for the most of the increase. Motor vehicle output jumped 4% in August, following a 1.4% drop the prior month. Excluding motor vehicles and parts, manufacturing output was unchanged in August, following a 0.5% rise in July. The National Federation of Small Business Optimism Index rose to a new all-time high in August. Business owners continue to express a great deal of optimism about the economy and their business. On Monday, White House Chief Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow was asked if the Trump administration would address entitlement reforms. Kudlow said it will, quote, probably look at larger entitlements next year. Entitlement reform generally refers to changes or cuts to large government social programs such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, or food stamps. I don't want to be specific. I don't want to get ahead of our own budgeting, but we'll get there, Kudlow said at the Economics Club of New York. But I agree, we have to be tougher on spending. Republicans plan on reducing spending on those programs in order to make up for the estimated $1 trillion U.S. dollars or more of last year's GOP tax cuts, which will balloon the U.S. deficit. And now, the global view. In the Eurozone, the European Central Bank left policy unchanged and confirmed its plans to reduce asset purchases to 15 billion euros per month in October, before wrapping up its bond buying program at the end of 2018. The European Central Bank has said that it must first end asset purchases before raising interest rates, so the first hike will occur most likely in the fall of 2019. The ECB downgraded its economic forecasts slightly for 2018 and 2019. Chinese data released this week showed that economic conditions generally remained solid in August. Growth in retail sales grew to 9% for the year, and industrial production growth was also stronger. The People's Bank of China has paused its deleveraging process in recent months, cutting its reserve requirement ratio for commercial banks in an attempt to inject more liquidity into the market. Even with slightly softer year-to-date fixed investment spending, there are some promising signs of stronger growth prospects for the economy. Turkey's central bank chose to raise interest rates 625 BPS to 24%, higher than market estimates. Turkey has captured headlines recently amid fears of financial market contagion, as the Turkish lira has slid almost 40% against the dollar so far this year. Many remain concerned about Turkey's high current account deficit, while inflation has also skyrocketed to nearly 18% in August. Although the lira remains under pressure, it recovered around 4% against the dollar after the central bank announcement. Given rampant inflation and the lira's downward spiral, the central bank could raise rates further in coming months. Apple has paid the Irish government 14.3 billion euros, money that the European Commission ruled the tech giant owed due to illegal tax breaks. Ireland's finance ministry said the payment was a significant milestone, although Dublin insists Apple was not given any special tax treatment. In 2016, the Commission ruled the below 1% effective tax rate the firm paid in Ireland amounted to illegal state aid. Apple has appealed against the decision. Dublin also disputes the Commission's findings. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue said the government fundamentally disagrees with the Commission's analysis. German car makers BMW, Daimler, and Volkswagen are to face an EU inquiry for allegedly conspiring to restrict diesel emission treatment systems. The European Commission said it was investigating whether they agreed to limit the development of systems to reduce harmful emissions. It said that if proven, this could mean that consumers had been denied the chance to buy less polluting cars. The firms were raided in 2017 as part of the Commission's earlier inquiries. The Commission said its in-depth investigation was intended to assess whether the carmakers colluded in breach of EU antitrust rules to avoid competing on technology to clean up petrol and diesel car emissions. And finally, China announced tariffs targeting more than 5,000 U.S. products, which will go into effect on September 24th. However, China will put a 10% tariff on some goods it had previously earmarked for a 20% levy. The announcement comes after the Trump administration announced that the U.S. will impose 10% tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. Those duties will rise to 25% at the end of the year. President Trump warned Beijing against seeking to influence the upcoming U.S. midterm elections. Trump said, quote, "There will be great and fast economic retaliation against China if our farmers, ranchers, and/or industrial workers are targeted." The White House says its tariffs are a response to China's unfair trade policies. The imports will make Chinese-made products more expensive, a move intended to convince U.S. businesses and consumers to buy elsewhere. U.S. officials hope the risk to the Chinese economy will convince Beijing to change its policies. But many U.S. businesses are critical of the tariffs, with farmers, manufacturers, retailers, and other industry groups calling them taxes on American families. And this has been your King's College Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
Hey there, and happy Wednesday to all of the music lovers tuned into WRKC. This is your music director, Kayla Kraczynski, with this week's Artist Spotlight featuring Bad Bad Hats. Bad Bad Hats is an indie rock band from Minneapolis, Minnesota. The band consists of Carrie Alexander, Chris Hoge, and Connor Davison. The band has just released their second full-length album on August 3rd called Lightning Round, and they are sounding more confident than ever. They pushed away from their comfort zone with this album by recording it live in studio, which gives the record a very loose and organic feeling. This is the opening track to Lightning Round, and it's called Makes Me Nervous. LP from the group, Psychic Reader, turns personal experiences into poignant universal stories. There is a quirky electronic sound throughout the record, but one song is unlike the rest. Listening to Things We Never Say is like having Carrie Alexander sing softly into your ear. The acoustic song is as touching as it is unnerving. It takes unrequited love and manages to express the accompanying mess of emotions without sounding cliche at all.
I never get tired of dreaming. It's you I'm sleeping for. Wish I knew what you were thinking when you kissed me on the floor. But I'm not sorry that I let you, or that we did this whole thing wrong. And I'll never say I love you, but I meant it all along. So boy, just let me hold you. So boy, just let me hold you. Don't you dare say goodnight.
And at last, the final track of Psychic Reader holds the song Spin, which sounds as if Bad Bad Hats time-traveled from a 1998 alternative rock station. I guess that makes WRKC a pretty good home for the song to be played on. Spin is full of glossy, up-tempo guitars and has a strange but catchy chorus of fatalist lyrics, making the song as sweet as it is cynical, with a charming enthusiasm.
If you knew that I'm not good enough for you, would you just back out of the driveway until I'm out of view? I am afraid to die, and I try to hide the signs. I cannot wash away this feeling. This feeling. This feeling. This feeling.
This has been your music director, Kayla Kraczynski, with this week's Artist Spotlight featuring Bad Bad Hats on the wonderful 88.5 WRKC.
The men's soccer team played two crucial games last week, splitting them one win and one loss. And senior goalkeeper Owen Keady played a huge role in instrumenting these great performances. And for that, he was named Mac Freedom Men's Soccer Defensive Player of the Week. Keady does not expect his impact on the game to fall off anytime soon. In fact, he hopes what he's done will motivate the entire team to work that much harder.
I think it really starts with practice and just getting out there the next day. We had one day off, but then we come back out and we work hard again. We start conference season next weekend, so I think we're all kind of thinking about that. We have a few games in between then, though, and I think it's really important that these next games, we have three. We have Wednesday, Saturday, and then another Wednesday. I think it's important that we go in and get some good results and just get some wins heading into conference season and get our confidence up.
Owen is, of course, appreciative of his third Mac Freedom Defensive Player of the Week award during his time at Kings, but he knows that the chemistry built on and off the field with his teammates is far more important.
I think the team feeds more off of each other in the way that we play on the field as opposed to awards. I know that different awards like this isn't the end goal what we're going for. I think wins, and especially conference wins and a conference championship, is what we're building towards. I think it's great to get acknowledged for all the hard work we're putting in, but I think as a team, we really just keep each other accountable on the field and we're building to something greater.
Geedy's teammate, August Axman, had won the same award just a week prior, proving just how dominant their team can be when all aspects of their game plan are clicking.
I think it says a lot about how hard we're working. I think we have a very, very strong defense. August, we have some freshmen filling in too. I think we pride ourselves on how well we defend. I know the defense prides themselves on how few shots they let up. And, you know, I have a lot of faith in them. I know they have a lot of faith in me as well, that whenever something happens, they let up a shot, that I'll be there to help them out. And I know they're there for me all game, running around helping me out. So I think it really just boils down to, you know, how hard we work and how much trust we have in each other.
The team has big goals set for the 2018 season as conference gameplay approaches in less than a week.
I think it all comes down to winning a conference championship. It's something that the seniors, along with myself, obviously I haven't been able to do. Get back to the NCAA tournament. That's what we're all working towards. In terms of goals, I think that's everyone on the team's goals, 100%. Getting to the conference championship. My freshman year, we lost, and then we lost 2 years in PKs, sophomore and junior year. So I know we're all ready to go for that, and that's the main goal.
Giddy is ecstatic about the start of the season, rightfully so, and is confident that his team can rely on each other to reach the goals they set out for this season. And for the WRKC News at 5, I'm Chris Wallenberg.
And now for the weather. Tonight will be clear with a low of 57. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high of 75. And Friday, expect thunderstorms with a high of 75. King's College President Father John Ryan announced today that the 2019 commencement speaker will be the legendary former Notre Dame football coach Lou Holtz. Holtz will address the newest King's graduates on Sunday, May 19th. Registrations are being accepted for the 3rd Annual Creative Writing Conference, October 26th and 27th. The conference is free for high school students. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Lauren Gallagher. Have a wigged out Wednesday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.